From the trails, woods, and waters of the Great Lakes State to the Michigan Talk Network, it's Wild Michigan with your host, Duran Martinez.
Welcome to Wild Michigan. Duran Martinez, your host all over the Great Lakes State. On the many stations of the Michigan Talk Network all over the world on our website, wildmichiganradio.com. You can pick up the podcasts absolutely free. Brought to you in part by Lucky Buck, Deer Mineral. Been using Lucky Buck all year round in our viewing spots and getting ready to start putting it out for an attractant as October 1st is making its way here to us and getting ready for bow season. I actually picked up my bow for the first time on Wednesday. 20-yard shot with the setup still remaining from last year with my camera on it and my quiver and everything else. First shot, 20 yards, dead bullseye. Okay, the other three weren't as good, but hey, the very first one was inspiring, and I'm very happy to have picked up my bow again, getting the muscle memory back that I should have been doing year-round. But, you know, a lot of things have been going on in my life, and this is the first time I picked up my bow. So now what I need to do is pick up my fishing pole because we are getting ready for fall. It is late summer. There's a transitional period. And I want to talk a little bit about panfish with my good friend Brian Brosdahl, who's joining us right now. Frable, Northland pro staffer, very well known in the fishing industry, all-around good guy. And, bro, as we turn 8 this year, that tells us how long we've known you.
Oh, yeah. It's been a while, and it's been a lot of fun.
It's been a lot of fun, man. You've taught me a lot of things, and you've taught a lot of people here a lot of things. As we get closer to fall, there has to be some sort of transitional period for panfish. Maybe they're going to start moving in some places, maybe getting more of the feed bag on. What is happening with panfish right now? Are they pretty much staying in summer patterns?
Well, actually, this is probably one of the better times of the year to catch panfish. There's a couple of different times. You know, obviously in the fall, they go deep a lot of times and you can get them schooled up. And then in the winter, they hold in the same areas. But this time of year, as the weeds start to dying off and the algae bloom comes and goes, it actually pushes the fish to the best parts of the weed beds, or it'll actually push them out of the weed beds as we start getting cooler fronts coming through in Michigan, as those nor'westers, nor'easters come in, it's going to push the panfish out. And the really neat thing is if there's any kind of structure other than weeds, they're on it like a magnet. And these are the times of the year that you could actually catch a lot of fish. You find a healthy green weed bed right now, and you're going to catch a lot of bluegills and crappies, and they'll hold to it. But if there's any wood structures or rock features near the weed beds, and there might not be anybody on them, but you find these spots, and they are absolutely phenomenal.
Brian Brosdahl is our guest here, one of our experts on Meet the Experts at our website, wildmichiganradio.com. Bro, do we still want to stay small with baits, waxworms, things of that nature, small plastics, or do we want to throw a big chunk of crawler on the end of like a number 6?
Well, actually, I'm using a feather jig with a chunk of crawler.
That's interesting. What type of feather jig? I mean, describe the feather jig for me.
Well, actually, a firefly feather jig, and then also remember that this time of year, they're taking bigger baits. You know, bluegills actually eat a lot of little invertebrate in the water, and they also eat the real small crayfish. It's the crunch factor this time of year, so they'll wolf down a big bait. So I'll use a firefly feather jig, you use it in a 32nd ounce, but I'll even go a little bit bigger. You can even go up to an 1/8 ounce jig this time of year and a chunk of a crawler, and the best part of the crawler is the top part, the head, because it doesn't rip apart that easy, mm-hmm. and you can hook it on and snip a piece off. But if you can get leeches, if you can find leeches, they work. Of course, waxworms work, but it's real aggressive down there, and sometimes there's tiny perch nearby, and they'll hit it and knock it off there. But crawlers is pretty hard to beat. And even small jig heads, like a 32nd ounce fireball jig, work really well. And if you're going to use a plain hook, dress it up with a small spinner blade. If you could tie your own spinners, get some really tiny beads, and all you need are one, two, three beads and a real small blade. I call it flickering because you're not casting out and spinning it in.
Mm-hmm.
You're actually just wanting it to drop into place. If the water's murky, a little blade falling into place after your crawler hits the spot, you can even tie a jig on and then put a little spinner blade above it. This stuff works really well. And I'm talking, you know, you can use a size 4, size 3. Just go real tiny. And they actually, what I use are, you can find them on little propellers or spinners that you can find at some of these shops. And sometimes they rob them off of other jig heads. But you know, if you don't have a pike biting you off, it'll last you a long time. And I really use a lot of spinner on my jigs and my plain hooks this time of year. But if you want to use an Aberdeen hook or a colored hook, that works really well. But a chunk of crawler, find the spot first. And if you have an AquaView underwater camera, you can actually see the fish. And when you drop it down, if you want to see what's on your depth finder, and you're seeing a lot of little circles, which is what it looks like, you'll be going over a weed bed and you'll see circles all over the place. Drop the camera down and it looks like a convention of panfish. Those are the spots. They're a blast right now.
You know, I've got an AquaView, and I really haven't had a chance to use it this year. It's been kind of a difficult year to get out and go fishing. I know I've been talking about it more than I've been doing it, but what I've seen ice fishing with that is just absolutely incredible. It really does enhance things, and they're not terribly expensive.
Oh, no, and in some bites, you know, people are asking me about murky water, and I always tell them, you know, even in murky water, you can see shapes. In the near distance, not real far away, but you can see shapes and you can identify fish to make sure they're the right ones that you're after. But in the wintertime and as well as this time of year, as the panfish start moving off the weed beds and you get in a vertical situation, if you're completely anchored and you could drop the camera down in down view, you could watch the fish. And when the fish takes the hook in, and not just because bluegills will come up and grab the hook backwards, or they'll grab it just by the bait hanging off.
Mm-hmm.
You want to wait till that barb of the hook disappears, then you set the hook. You don't miss any this way, and it's so good, it's almost unfair, you know, because you don't miss any fish, and that's what we do in the wintertime on shallow weed flats or bars. I walk around with that camera. I usually put it in my bibs because, you know, I have what I call a food shelf.
Sure.
Not an eight-minute abs or anything, but my food shelf. But now it's funny because... over at AquaView, they came up with something, and they were going to call it the food shelf. They didn't, but it's a little pouch that wraps around your waist and your shoulders that you can walk around hands-free with the camera open and looking. And I thought it was really a cool idea instead of me balancing it in my bibs. And then so you're holding the camera cord in one hand, or you take an alligator clip to clip it to your clothes, and then you're fishing. And then when you set the hook... You know, people ask if it tangles. It doesn't really tangle. I mean, the little bit of tangles, the cord actually pushes away from the line. If the fish spins around 8 times, you'd be surprised how easy it is to get untangled.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times, the camera's so light, it's just like having another jig tangled on your line. You just bring it up, and you don't lose the fish because of it.
Excellent. Brian Brosdahl is our guest here. He's on our Meet the Pros section on our Wild Michigan radio.com page, and he's been out fishing. I got about a minute left in the segment. Bro, you said you caught something pretty amazing. What was it?
Well, actually, I found a log structure in one of the lakes I normally fish, and it was just teeming with fish and probably caught 70 to over 100 bluegills, but there were true 9-inch tail-pinched, mouth-closed tail-pinched on a board, 9 to over 10 inches, and I'd say the biggest one was like 10 and a half. And you always see them on Facebook. You see them on all these websites. Oh, this one's 10 and a half. This one's 10 and three quarters. Some lakes have longer fish than others, and
mm-hmm.
some lakes have shorter, taller fish. But a true over 10, mouth closed, tail pinched on a board, is a monster bluegill. And, yes, there are a few 11s and 12s caught in northern Michigan, the UP, northern Minnesota, and all these different areas, and some spots in Wisconsin. But a true 10-inch bluegill is a monster.
All right, Brian Brosdahl is going to join us for another segment here. Stick around. WildMichiganRadio.com is where you can find us, find the podcast, find our links to Lucky Buck. We'll be right back.
You can send your suggestions, comments, or questions to us here via email at outdoormailbag@gmail.com. Now, back to Wild Michigan.
Turn the quiet up, turn the noise down, let this old world just spin around.
Welcome back to Wild Michigan. Duran Martinez, Alex Clark in the studios of the Michigan Talk Network. Our website, wildmichiganradio.com. You can find links to our sponsors like Lucky Buck on there. Also, some of the cool stuff we're using, Northland Tackle, some of the stuff from our friends at Chappelle, Frabel, all there. As I was moving my ice shelters around yesterday, bro, I kind of can't wait for the ice after such a good year last year with ice fishing. Even though it did cause some kill off, I'm looking forward to the ice again this year.
And we had some kill off too, and I know there were some in Michigan. But you know, when Lake Erie freezes over, which was unbelievable, and there's people taking four wheelers out to some of the near islands, that is amazing, and that's a sign of a really good winter everywhere. But the winter kills actually are natural, and they don't always happen a lot in some lakes, but other lakes they happen every other third year. And in those situations, the panfish get really big because it knocks down the population and they have all that room to forage. So it's not a bad thing. And it doesn't kill everything usually. Sometimes it can be pretty bad, but they come back really fast.
You know, and that's a good thing too. It really, it's a case of the strong surviving and knocking off some of the weaker species, weaker members of the species rather. And again, increasing size and strength.
Oh yeah, and one of the things too is in those lakes are usually shallow, fertile lakes, and if there's a lot of panfish, they'll actually stunt because there's only so much biomass available in a body of water. So winter kill in a fertile situation, just these fish peg out and get big faster, and you see great growth rates. You see the strong survive, the genetics and all that stuff. But number one, they got a feed bag that's limitless.
It's true. Now let's move over to crappie a little bit, because there's a lot of people out there that like crappie fishing, jigging vertically for these. What is your ideal setup for a crappie rig? Let's start with the pole and reel you're using.
Well, I like to use. I have a St. Croix, a whole bunch of St. Croix panfish series. They actually made a panfish series, which is really cool. And I have long rods, 9 to 11 footers, for reaching into big cane beds and weed beds, or for milfoil mats, you can just drop straight down vertical. But I have some 5 footers and 6 footers for right over the side of the boat. The 5 footer's nice. You're fishing right under your transducer, so you want to be really close by. And you can even hold it in a winter style of ergonomic, you know, because it's so light.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll put a winter reel, like the Bro Series reel, the real small fishing reel on there, and a light braid, like 2-pound braid. It's real thin, and it could drop micro lures down far. And then a little fluorocarbon tippet about 3 feet long. And if you're in murky water, it only has to be a foot long. And then, of course, heavy baits, like a mud bug. And I also like using impulse plastics, because when you get on a crappie bite, and if you, all you have to do is twitch it, you can get these fish to bite. Bloodworm, scud bug. The water bug is probably my favorite all-around bait, because it's got 2 flat legs. When you twitch it, it glides, and you can get this thing to kind of almost walk the dog side by side in a short semicircle, but it also has scent on it. If you're using a mud bug or a small puppet, you could tip it. You know, a crappie's like night crawlers also, but you always want to have minnows, and if they're real finicky, a live minnow twitching down there, it's pretty hard to beat. Don't drop it down in them. Keep it above them. And what I found on some of the lakes, As these crappies are starting to move out of the weed beds, they'll hold the strange things. I side imaged with my Hummingbird a tire on the bottom, and it had a bunch of crappies around it. Looked like a tractor tire, and there was no rim or anything, but it's just a tire sitting on the bottom, and there's a school of crappies around it, and they're nice ones, 12 to 13 inches. And you stay vertical, it was about 22 feet of water, and just light movements and twitching upward, and those, you can watch the fish rising up off the bottom. And watching it on your sonar is like watching video games, like a whole bunch of missiles coming up at your bait. And it's like ice fishing. It's a lot of fun, especially this time of year as we start getting more and more vertical.
Now, bro, speaking of Brian Brosdahl here on Wild Michigan on the Michigan Talk Network, bro, when you're talking about jigging vertical, when you see them on your sonar and you're jigging and you see the image of the fish, are you kind of slowly moving it upward away from the fish, getting them intrigued?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Cat and mouse, just like we do in the wintertime. You jig it, and when you see the fish coming over to your bait, and they kind of become one image, you slowly pull it away, and that's when they hit it almost 90% of the time. And during cold front situations, you have to dead stick it. Just let it sit right in front of them, and that's where a lively crappie minnow is awesome. And you know, don't just have them in a ice cream bucket. Make sure you get a good cooler. I use a Frabel bubbler. When you go to grab minnows, they jump out of your hand. They're hard to put on the hook. Those are the minnows I'm throwing down. They're wiggling and going absolutely nuts. Bring different size ones. If you're fishing bigger crappies and you want to get a bigger bite, put a big minnow down also. Little minnows are awesome, too, when it's really, really a tough bite. Small hook. Colored hooks are great. And if anything, we know the crappies are fickle. And there's actually a whole crappie tournament series. And those guys will probably attest to just one little change in colors, or, you know, adding something will definitely change your bite. And a lot of times the crappie tournaments are one dead sticking right in front of their nose, and eventually they come up and eat it. But most of the time crappies will try to crush the minnow before they swallow it because they don't have crushers in their throat like catfish, bass, and bluegills. So they like to pop it a little bit and try to kill the minnow before they swallow it. And so give them a few seconds before you set the hook.
Now, with crappie, too, they've got a very light tissue around their mouth, so it's not like a big bass that you can rip into. You got to be kind of careful with that.
Oh, absolutely. I have some clients that come up from Texas, and when they set the hook, it doesn't matter if you're fishing for bass, walleyes, or panfish. Their feet leave the ground, and I'm like, dude, got to ease up a little bit. And they bring up a pair of lips, you know, every now and then, and literally did bring up a corner of a mouth off a fish. Oh. I'm like, you don't need to set the hook that hard. And, you know, with super braids nowadays, we're actually just pulling. And a lot of times I like to describe it as you're setting the hook with your reel. You reel really fast, and when your line tightens up, if your hook doesn't hook into the fish, you need a different hook. And I use Northland Tackle, and their hooks are really sharp. But you could just reel. You don't have to set the hook. Reel it tight, and it'll hook into their mouth. And once you get the fish on, once you get the gift, I call it, because some days it's tougher than others, you get that thing hooked up. You don't want to rip it off. So light drag, and just take your time. And that works for crappies, and it's the same for walleyes. Even out on Erie, once you get it hooked up, don't horse it in. You know, take your time, and I've seen situations all over the place where people, as soon as they see the fish, they get excited real fast and they rip it off the line.
Brian Brosdahl is our guest here. BrosGuideService.com, is that where we can still find you?
Absolutely.
All right, find him there and look for him around Michigan as the winter rolls around. You got your vehicle all set up with the treads and ready to go?
Oh, yeah, I have I have a track vehicle. I got a 4x4 on tracks, and from a Michigan company out of the UP. They're called American Track Truck, and it's actually individual tracks that go around on all your tires, just like you see on the four-wheelers nowadays.
All right, Brian Brosdahl.
So much flotation. It's unbelievable.
BrosGuideService.com is where you can find him. Also, link on our website at wildmichiganradio.com.
You can join us on Facebook or listen to podcasts, all from our website at wildmichiganradio.com. Now, back to Duran Martinez and Wild Michigan.
Cross the line at an hour to time. Interstate 94 more miles through the Great Lakes State. Turn it up so the bus ain't late. Another night in Michigan.
Welcome back to Wild Michigan. Duran Martinez, your host on the Michigan Talk Network, all over the Great Lakes State, on our website, all over the world at wildmichiganradio.com. Thanks to Brian Brosdahl for talking a little bit about late summer panfish, getting ready for fall. I know, the F word again. We talked about this with David A. Rose a couple of weeks ago, how I just keep saying the F word, you know, like fall and fishing. Well, It's inevitable, okay? We have this clock thing and these seasons that change because we live in Michigan, and we get used to it. But a sure sign of fall is the Woods and Water Outdoors Weekend. Woods and Water News Outdoor Weekend happening again next weekend. Very excited about this. And I think this is the first time I finally got ahead of the game and said, hey, Tom Campbell, will you join me on the show? And 8 years later, Tom, I'm the threats have come through.
Oh, that's great. Well, we sure do appreciate you having us on, Duran. And you talk about kicking off the fall. That's what we kind of use the Woods and Water News Outdoor Weekend, September 5th, 6th, and 7th at the Eastern Michigan State Fairgrounds over here in Emily City. We kind of call it a kickoff to the fall. And we've got a great event lined up this weekend, and we hope all your listeners try to make it out to Emily City.
And Emily City's really not that far away. It's a little over an hour from Lansing. Right. Of course, we've got some Flint affiliates, Saginaw affiliates. Yep. Then over on the west side of the state, it's a straight shot across.
Exactly right. You know, 69 goes right, and we're right exactly between Flint and Port Huron. So it's an easy drive for just about anybody.
It is.
It should be worth the drive, too. I'll guarantee that. How's that sound?
That's good. I'll let you guarantee it. But I know from firsthand experience, it's always fun. 28 years now. 28 years. Gosh, really?
It's amazing, isn't it? Yes, it started out as just a small show to, you know, it started out as an event to just kind of push the brand new Woods and Water News that had just, you know, born a year prior to the show. And Randy Jorgensen, the publisher of Woods and Water News, started the show as a way to promote the Woods and Water News magazine. You know, if we could invite some people to the fairgrounds and some vendors and show them this new publication, and from there, 27 years later, now we've got over 225 vendor spaces sold out, and we've got seminars and dogs and events that sure to please everybody's, and we've kind of adapted the theme now that, you know, come and celebrate our outdoor heritage, because that's really what the show's all about. It's not just a hunting show. It's not just a fishing show. It's really a family show, and that's kind of where we're going. And just like Woods and Water News, you know, it's really become a family magazine. So we really take pride in that. And like I said, we've got some great events for everybody that wants to come out. We've got a whole dog theme, which includes, of course, Milt Wilcox, Detroit Tiger pitcher of, you know, the 84 series. He's got the ultimate ear dogs, and it's amazing, Duran, how intriguing that is to watch these dogs long jump off a dock into a pool. It sounds pretty simple, but, you know, and every time I walk by it, there's a huge crowd, and I always find myself stopping and going, wow, look at that. That's pretty cool. And actually, on Friday night, it's open jump. If somebody's interested, they could check that out. They could go to the Ultimate Air Dog website and sign up to jump on Friday night. But so that part of the dogs going on over on the other side of the arena, we've got a 100-foot tent full of hunting puppies for sale. People come from all over to sell their puppies, and people come from all over to buy puppies, and it's a great event. You know, people get concerned about selling puppies, that we're selling puppy mills. Well, we go to great extremes to make sure everybody signs waivers that their dogs are clean and healthy. And, of course, everything we do can't be 100%. So then we also encourage our dog buyers to say, wait a second, check my emotions here for a second. Mm-hmm. That puppy's really cute, but let me what happens if this dog gets sick? Let me see your driver's license. Let me see that you really are the owner of this dog. You know, it's a due diligence, you know, buyer beware in that puppy tent. I mean, it's, you know, the emotions are 99%, you know, they're just so doggone cute, and it's hard to put that chocolate lab down or that German short-haired pointer. So, you know, but that's the other. And then we've got a couple trainers coming on. Of course, Charlie Lindblade has always been part of the show, and he'll be putting on demonstrations over in the grandstand about ideas on how to train everything from retrievers to pointer. And then Len Jenkins is going to join us. He's down the Hillsdale way now, and he's going to help people that do buy a puppy. You can go right over to Len's booth right across from the puppy tent, and he'll get your dog started right there. And then so he'll give you some tricks of what to do with your new puppy when you take it home, when you get it home. he says he can, if it's a pointer, he can get a point for you right there on the spot. So pretty tall order. But so, you know, we've just tied that whole dog theme in and adopted that. So that's one part. And then we can go into the deer hunting. We're real proud of our deer hunting seminar schedule, that we've got some of the big names in the state of Michigan. You know, when you get the Abbas father and son team of Fred and Greg Abbas, you know, Fred always comes up with these great hot tactics of how to nail some of these big whitetails that he does. And then Richard Smith coming down from the UP. And this year, Richard's got a real neat seminar program. He's been following the albino deer up in that Marquette Park area up there. Mm-hmm. And so he's going to do a presentation all about the albino deer, and he's got some great shots. This year, a new set of albino twins were born up that area. So it's just really a little bit off the beaten path, but really kind of... And then we whip over to our deer hunting management crew, and we've got Mr. Food Plots coming. We've nicknamed Ed Spinozola Mr. Food Plots, because I think that's all he does is live and breed out of how to make better food pots for deer every year. And he works along with Tony LaPrat, who I'm sure everybody's heard of Tony LaPrat. He made a name of himself in the deer woods management part of deer hunting. And he can talk about how you can manage your property to not only have deer on it, but to hold deer on it, which if you can hold deer on your property, it's a lot easier to hunt them, that's for sure.
Exactly. Tom Campbell joining us here. You know, Tom, and the familiarity of the show, when we go back to it every year, to know where the ultimate air dogs are, to know that, you know, I'm usually going to run into Fred and Greg Abbas or Richard B. Smith or Terry McBurney with the fishing lures. It's so nice. And again, Imlay City in general has a lot to offer. I'll be honest with you, man. Lucky's is one of my favorite places in the world, and Nacho's is one of my favorite places in the world. Those two restaurants, you know, I've been to Imlay.
Yeah, exactly right. You're so right. Yeah, we appreciate that, too. You're right, though. Nacho's prides himself on being one of the best Mexican restaurants around here, so he's always a popular place.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Speaking with Tom Campbell here from Woods and Water News, a couple of minutes left in this segment, Tom. Anything new and surprising this year that we can see?
Well, I tell you, you probably won't believe this, but we've actually have a new event at the Outdoor Weekend, which is called Archery Tag. Yeah.
Really?
Archery Tag, It's kind of a spinoff from paintball. You accept use of bow and arrow. Now, obviously, we don't have a tip on those arrows, but this company comes up, Backwoods comes up, and they bring in all these inflatable barricades, I guess you would call them, things to hide behind and conceal yourself. And you shoot basically kind of a Nerf tip arrow with, I believe they dip a little chalk on it or something so you can tell when you're hit.
Really?
And, I tell you, we've seen it at other shows, and we did it at Kalamazoo last year, and oh my gosh, you get some young people in there, and they had a ball. They just had a riot, you know, competitive, you know, the hiding, the shooting aspect of it. It was really neat. So we brought it over to Emily City, and we're going to put it up, and hopefully everybody's allowed to come and play that, and you kind of get develop teams with other people, and it's just a riot. So that's pretty new and pretty cool, and I think everybody will enjoy that.
All right, Tom Campbell is joining us. Nate Benavides from Strother Archery, I'm calling you out now because I know you're in Imlay City. We'll be right back with Tom Campbell on Wild Michigan.
Hey, Michiganiacs, this is your blood brother Ted Nugent celebrating the almighty Michigan Spirit of the Wild with my blood brother Duran Martinez on Wild Michigan. Go Wild!
Welcome back to Wild Michigan. Duran Martinez, Alex Clark in the studios of the Michigan Talk Network and on our website all over the world at wildmichiganradio.com. Just a quick shout out for those of you on the west side of the state. The Sportsmen for Youth are putting on an event next Saturday as well. Youth Day is designed to introduce youth to the great joy of everything outdoors, educational and fun for the whole family, multiple activities and demonstrations all day long promoting the safe pursuit of outdoor activities and fire safety all in one venue. One day, no charge, lunch, t-shirts, door prizes, and goodie bags for the first 2,500 kids, 17 and under, attending the event. And it's all provided absolutely free, along with multiple drawings from exhibitors throughout the day. That is going on again at the Muskegon County Fairgrounds. For more information, sportsmanforyouth.com. And getting back to Tom Campbell from Woods and Water News joining us here. Tom, I was very fortunate. My good friend Jerry Lambert did a story on my elk hunt last year. And, buddy, I tell you what, I've never been in a more stressful situation in my life than to draw a Michigan elk tag as people are getting ready to hit the woods this year. But, you know, we look at Woods and Water throughout the course of the months, and there are so many good Michigan stories, and it's so about us and focused on us and a lot of the problems that we face here in the state as well.
Yeah, exactly right. You're right. And Jerry does an outstanding job for us trying to get those personal stories. And that's what, like I mentioned earlier, that Woods and Waters is, you know, it's all about that heritage and that outdoor heritage. And we enjoy, you know, guest columns, people writing a story. You know, this happened to me. And that's what makes it popular. And maybe it's not classic, perfect, I hate to say it over the airways, literature or perfect writing, but it's really about the tradition and that experience, and people are just wanting to share it, and we love doing that, and I think that's some of the success of Woods Water News. You know, we can allow other people to write for us, and they do a great job, and so we always love people sending us stories and photos and how their hunt went, and now it's a tremendous increase in how parents and fathers are writing about their sons and daughters' first hunt, and you can just feel the emotion that they, and the pride that they have. It's incredible, you know. Think back, my generation said, you know, yeah, we, you know, growing up in the Thumb area, we all grew up pheasant hunting, of course, and deer hunting back then, you know, there wasn't deer in southern Michigan, so it was the thing that you went up north, and really, you didn't get to do that until you were, a little older, 18, you know. Then Dad would take you up to deer camp because it was kind of a sacred man's thing, you know, back then.
Sure.
And that's just totally went 360 now. Now it's everything's about family, and it's so cool to see that happen and see these, you know, and we love getting those stories.
You know, the one thing, speaking with Tom Campbell from Woods and Water News, the one thing I want to say about Jerry as a writer, when my dad read the story, he told me, he goes, it was just like you told me. So there wasn't a lot of creative license taken with that story. And that's one thing. I have a few friends that are outdoor writers, and I'm very thankful that they're not like that either. But, you know, sometimes, and I'm going to get chewed for this, Tom, and I know it, and I pretty much don't care, but there seems to be sometimes, I'm saying sometimes, that creative license is how the writer wants to put things, you know, and they should be respected for this. I've got issue with that, man. I'm a radio guy. I speak my mind, and that's it. But I guess when writing, it's different. You should know better than me.
Yeah, you're exactly right. Yeah, nestled in the woods with snow flying, and it was 65 degrees, and that's not really how their story went, but it sounded better when you wrote it that way.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. There's no doubt. No doubt. But
So what do you have coming up in the next episode? See, now I'm talking radio. I can never say issue for some reason. Next issue for all of us here.
You know, right now our September issue, of course, is on the newsstand right now, and so October, which, you know, will come out mid-September, right after the outdoor weekend, surprisingly enough, but, you know, we're going to follow, obviously, it's going to be hardcore deer hunting. We got some great stories from Johnny Eberhardt talking about how to hunt, you know, bad weather, and an interesting piece by Kenny Darwin about how to hunt deer, how they love tall grass, and maybe we're missing some things by not hunting the tall grass, and we'll follow that theme right through. And of course, there's always some, you know, the problem with Michigan is we got great hunting, but the fishing is terrific in Michigan in the fall, too. So we've got some terrific fall fishing stuff as well. So,
Well, we're looking forward to that. And with fall coming, we've got the steelhead run. The kings are already starting to show up in some of the rivers. And now we're going to talk about this in the next hour of the show with my good friend Bill Hawk. We have this early teal season for the first time in almost 50 years. Early goose season starts September 1st for many of us. What do you think of that early teal season, Tom?
I think it's extremely exciting. I Tom Hugler wrote a piece on it last month, and I think it's just wonderful. And another feather in the cap for the hunter conservationist, the steward of the land, because it's through our efforts, DU's efforts, the DNR's efforts, that the habitats come back, and now the teal are back, and we can actually hunt them. We just continue to have these success stories. It's so great. I wish general public would know more of that,
That would take a little time on their part now, wouldn't it, Tom?
Yeah, it would.
A little effort and research. I mean, look, it's hard to argue when you have the number one trout fishing location in the country, the number one grouse hunting location in the country. We have an abundance of waterfowl, so many different species of fish, not only in the Great Lakes, but the tributaries, the different rivers throughout the state, that, What aren't people in Michigan seeing? And the news media drives me nuts when they look at this recent bill, when all they focus on is the wolf hunting. And I'm not going to beat a dead cat here, but it's they focus on the sensational and not the big picture.
Absolutely right. It's all emotion and what's going to stir people. Yeah, you're so right, Durant.
If it dies, it flies, Tom, or if it bleeds, it leads. I guess that's the news media's way of looking at things. And again, you folks stick to the facts, and that's what I'm so proud about being in Michigan with the outdoor news publications we have here, Woods and Water being one of them, and our friends at Michigan Outdoor News as well. I know you guys are friendly competitors, but look, we all need to get the information out there. There's no question.
That's exactly right. You're exactly right, Duran. Yeah. And we try to stay as neutral as possible because there's many outdoor issues that have two sides, and we're always open to, we've never denied somebody the other side or to an opportunity to write a letter to the editor, submit a guest op-ed opinion piece. And so, and we're going to continue that, because we're open. Like you said, get the facts out there and let people decide on the facts and not emotions.
So next weekend, we've got the Woods and Water Outdoor Expo weekend. It's going to be a great time out there.
Yeah.
5th, 6th, and 7th, 3 days in Imlay City. You can't miss it. As you're coming in off of 69, it's right there on the left-hand side. What time you guys open it up, and how much does it cost to get in?
We're going to go Friday night. It's an evening show, 5 to 9. Saturday all day, we go 9 a.m. to 7 p.m. Sunday, we go 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. It's only $8 to get in. Parking is absolutely free. Kids 12 and under are free, so we encourage you to bring your kids. And, you can get, there's plenty of great food vendors there at the show as well. And you can get a $3 beer, you can get a $2 pop, and you can get a venison burger for a couple bucks, and you can get a buffalo burger. So it's a great gig, a great family deal, and we hope everybody comes out and joins us.
And
if they want more information, they can go to real simple, www.outdoorweekend.net. And times of all the seminars and everything, all the happenings will be posted on there.
And we'll make sure we have a link for that on our website, wildmichiganradio.com. Tom, been a long time coming to get you on the show. Yes. I'm very, very glad I actually looked it up before it happened, before it went by or before it was actually the weekend of. But so good to have you on, man. So good to know you as well. And thanks for all you do for the outdoors as well.
Thank you, Duran, and same to you. And keep up the great work, and we'll see you next weekend.
Yes, I'll look forward to seeing you in Imlay City.
Right.
Woods and Water Weekend, going to be a big time out there. I'm going to be out there myself with Sarah Marie. We'll be out there walking around. Going to be a good time. Looking forward to seeing our friends, and let's make some new ones as well. So if you see me, stop me. Okay? Throw things at me. Maybe we'll get together in the archery tag thing, which I'm, dude, Hawk, calling you out as well. We'll talk to you in a minute. This is Wild Michigan, wildmichiganradio.com, brought to you by Lucky Buck Deer Mineral, Michigan's own Lucky Buck Deer Mineral. A link on our website, wildmichiganradio.com. Whole nother hour, we're going to talk duck hunting with Bill Hawk. I'm going to call him out on a few things as well, because I can. Also going to speak with Michigan Duck Hunters Association Roger Corey will be talking with us online as well. If you missed any of this, pick it up on the podcast, wildmichiganradio.com. Stick around. Whole another hour coming your way on the Michigan Talk Network.